bet on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, April 24, 2026 edition. Joining us on the line, as usual, in this hour, Pastor Chatfield. He has a history lesson, a discussion with us every Friday from 10 to 11. Today, he sent me a text message, and it says, Adolf Hitler's broken promises. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Let me just say to begin with, hey, what about Stalin, Joseph Stalin, and Mao Zedong? Why do you always pick on Hitler? Well, Hitler was terrible. So was Stalin. So was Mao Zedong. If we want to measure evilness and the amount of people murdered, both Stalin and Mao were much worse. If you just want to count people murdered. In Stalin and Mao killed tens of millions of their own people. It's estimated that Mao Zedong killed 40 million Chinese, and I mean executed, murdered. And Stalin would wipe out whole villages at probably, and these are all historical estimates, 20 to 30 million. He would wipe out whole villages. They were all evil. Okay, all evil. It used to be that I could talk about Adolf Hitler, and that'd be the one starting point in American history that everybody said Hitler was bad. Now, with the alt-right, there's a growing, not a consensus, but there's a growing whispers out there, hey, Hitler wasn't that bad. He got off the track a little, and that's terrible. We got to maintain our, he was a bad fascist Nazi dictator, one of the worst of the 20th century, but we could put him in a unholy trinity of Hitler and Stalin and Mao. All terrible. Murdered millions. But the latter two killed more than Hitler. Okay. Hitler, remember, fought in World War I and won the Silver Cross and was considered somewhat of a hero. He was born in Austria, but he, like a lot of Austrians, wanted unification with Germany. Let me remind everybody that Germany did not become a country until 1871. Before that, it was made up of disparate German-speaking people scattered throughout all of Europe, and especially in like Prussia, Bavaria, Poland, Czechoslovakia, especially Czech, and then Austria. A lot of German-speaking people all around Europe, and there was a movement to form a country. Otto von Bismarck, that's a name that we don't hear much about. He was a diplomat, and he wanted a German unification. And so when World War I came along, they wanted to, flex their muscles. They lost World War I, and I'm going to start remember that World War One ended with a armistice, November 11th, 1918. And the French and the English promised Germany, look, we're going to have a peace treaty and you're going to be treated fairly. Germany was losing the war, and so they ceased fire. But at the meeting of the Treaty of Versailles, Germany didn't even have a voice. They weren't even allowed in. And the Treaty of Versailles, in my opinion, was way too harsh on Germany. And so, yes, Hitler began violating the Treaty of Versailles pretty quickly after he attained power in Germany in 1933. And remember, even the Americans, even Woodrow Wilson fought the Treaty of Versailles was too harsh toward the Germans. So we'll take it up on the other side, how he began to violate that treaty.
Excellent. Perfect spot for a break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing. People, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Who's gonna ride that home free wheel? Who's gonna make that first mistake? Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the History Lesson Discussion with Pastor Chatfield, talking about broken promises by Adolf Hitler. Go ahead, sir, pick up where you left off.
Okay, according to the terms of the Treaty of Versailles, Germany was not supposed to rearm. They were supposed to be limited to 100,000 men in their army. We're not supposed to have an air force. And the Germans thought, and really kind of rightly so, Hitler thought, we're a sovereign nation. You talk about sovereignty. Can we really just have an army of 100,000? What they did, began cheating on the treaty. So and the way they got around it, they said, well, we have 100,000 officers. But their army was way, way, way bigger. And they started to draft people, conscription, into the military. What really bothered them about the Treaty of Versailles was the War Guilt Clause, which basically said, Germany, you have to take all the blame for the war. And that part was just, and in conjunction with that, they said, you have to make reparations. You've got to pay for the war. They didn't like that because it wasn't fair. And it really wasn't fair. You're going to pay for all the war. And it basically crippled their economy. They had to give up a bunch of their territory. They gave up the Rhineland had to be demilitarized. They were almost forced to be defenseless. They had to give up what was called the Polish Corridor up there between Eastern Germany and Poland. And it divided their country between West Prussia. It was very, very harsh. And Hitler began to violate those parts. He remilitarized the Rhineland. That's the Rhine River is the river that kind of separates Germany from the rest of Europe. And it's both Germany and both East and West. But you know, the French didn't want no Germans near their border. But he crossed the Rhine River and remilitarized it. But by this time, when he took power in 1933. The rest of Europe said, we don't want another world war. Let him go. Let him go. And maybe they recognized that it was a little bit too harsh. But when whether or not the Treaty of Versailles was too harsh or not, that's one argument. But the fact is, he started to violate it. And Europe did nothing. And because they were tired of war. They were tired of war. The British government was tired of war. There was only one voice in Europe, an MP, Winston Churchill, is saying, we can't trust this man. We can't trust this man. And so he attains power in 1933 through a series of events, especially the burning of the Reichstag building. He gets emergency powers, and he basically dismisses the parliament or the legislature, and he just rules by fiat. He becomes dictator after that. And he starts rearming, full force rearming, and doing a lot of things. I mean, public works, built what we would call the interstate highways there, and built a big highway across Germany. Germany was going back to work, and he was pretty popular. In 1938, there was something called the Munich Agreement. Let me back up. I skipped the annexation of Austria. He had promised, Hitler had, that I'm reading a quote, the German government recognizes the full sovereignty of the Federated State of Austria. Austria is an independent country, but there were a lot of, all of Austria was a German-speaking country, and a lot of them wanted to join Germany, but the elected officials really, they didn't, but there was another party that did, so he amasses his military up there, and he basically, they open the gates for him. It's called the Anschluss, that's in German, or the annexation of Austria into Nazi Germany. He brings his tanks, and they just march in, and some people didn't like it, but not enough to fight, and Austria is just becomes part of Germany. And that leaves Czechoslovakia. Man, they're surrounded by Germany now. And there was a part of Czechoslovakia called the Sudetenland, that we had a lot of German-speaking people in it, and Hitler wanted it. And we have what's called a meeting in Munich, where France, Germany, and England, Britain, Great Britain, Italy meet. So what should we do? And basically, Hitler demands to have the Sudetenland. And they sign it over to him. And here's a quote from Hitler after the meeting at Munich in 1938. I assured him, moreover, and I repeat it here, that when this problem is solved, there will be no more territorial problems for Germany and Europe. He said, a quote, another quote, this is the last territorial claim which I have to make in Europe. That's when there's a famous picture in 1938 when Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain comes back, gets off a plane, holds a piece of paper up, and it's blowing in the wind, and he has this very now infamous lines, we have peace in our time. We have peace in our time. He's just going to take the Sudetenland, that's it. But what happened? Wasn't too long after that, he simply occupied all of Czechoslovakia. He said, I don't even want the Slovaks in Nazi Germany, but he just annexed it. And by that time, France and Britain were saying, you can't do that. And France and Britain were saying, and they came out publicly and said, we're going to honor our treaty with Poland. You cannot have Poland, because Hitler was making noises like the German people need breathing room. Now, again, in Poland, there were a lot of German-speaking people. And Hitler claimed, and I think there's truth, some truth in it. This is always some truth, that the German minorities were being oppressed by the Polish majorities in Poland. I know of instances from personal testimony that people say that was true, and I'm not going to doubt that. But was it enough you're going to invade Poland over it? But by that time, Germany and France and Britain were saying, oh, I'm not sure we can trust them. So we move into 1939. August 1939, this is a surprise to the world. It's called the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. It was a non-aggression pact signed by Germany and the Soviet Union, in which they said, quote, both high contracting parties obligate themselves to desist from any act of violence, any aggression action, and any attack on each other, either voluntarily or jointly with each other. So Soviet Union on the east side of Poland and Germany on the west side of Poland make this agreement. We're not going to attack each other. We have a non-aggression pact. Now, at that point, people in Poland knew they were in deep trouble. And by the way, this Polish nation was only became a nation again after not being a nation for centuries after World War I. But they were a nation, and they didn't like it. And now they had Germany on the west, Soviet Union on the east. And it was an agreement, basically, between Germany and Soviet Union. We're going to carve up Poland and take it. And so what happens? September 1st, 1939, Germany invades Poland. Soviet Union takes the eastern part. Germany takes the western part. And for all practical purposes, in a few weeks, Poland ceases to exist. And by the way, Poland had the largest population of Jewish people in all of Europe. And they started, not just started here, but in earnest started here, collecting all the Jewish people, putting it in concentration camps or work camps, which really became very quickly extermination camps. So there were bunches of agreements that Germany made, and people wanted to believe it. They wanted to believe it. Listen, the United States wanted to believe it. Believe it or not, in the mid-1930s, there was at Madison Square Garden in New York, there was a rally for Nazism in New York City. It's big. You can look this up on YouTube. It's all there. There's a big picture of George Washington on one side, a big picture of Hitler on the other side. And Hitler had supporters in the United States saying, look, he's a nationalist. He's trying to promote his country. We can trust him. Look what he's doing for Germany. Look how he's brought the economy back. And remember this, after World War I, we lost 120,000 men in World War I and more from disease. We were sick of it. We were tired of it. We didn't want war. The war ended in 1918. The Roaring Twenties, we were busy with our own stuff. And then when the economy crashed after the, you know, Black Tuesday, 1929, man, we were concentrated on the Great Depression here. We did not want to get involved in another European war because it didn't look like it did us any good. Why, we're not going to do it again. And there was a strong America First policy. And FDR, the president, he wasn't so strong an America First guy, but he wouldn't go against it because that was the popular sentiment of the vast majority of Americans. They didn't want another war. Didn't want it. And whoever wants war, by the way, whoever wants war. But there were some Americans who were saying, we can't trust this. You can't trust Hitler. But we're not going to get involved. And because we didn't want to get involved. It's not our war. It's not our war. And so, and you've heard me say this before, it wasn't until after Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, in which Japan attacked us at, in a surprise attack, that drew us into World War II. And Germany did us a favor, in a way, by declaring war on us. I'm not sure we would have declared war on Germany after Pearl Harbor. Because we'd say, look, the Germans didn't attack us. We're going after Japan. But Hitler said this, great powers don't wait for war, they declare war. And he, because his ally Japan attacked the United States, he declared war. And so we get thrown into World War II. And it was kind of an agreement between, by this point, between Churchill and Roosevelt, and a little bit later, Stalin, that the emphasis would be on winning the war in Europe first. And so that was where the bulk of our efforts were there. Here is my point. You just couldn't trust Hitler because agreements made with Hitler just proved to be worthless. Now, we all want peace, of course, and we didn't want to get drug into another European war. And we hoped for the best for Hitler. Now, it's really easy now to look backward and say, how could Britain be so silly as to trust this guy? Didn't you read his book, Mein Kampf? Didn't you understand what he was talking about? His racist? I mean, he was completely, totally a racist person. Completely. All right. And he, how could you not see that? Well, now we look back. It's easy to say that. But at the time, nobody wanted to go to another world war. And so you could not trust an agreement with Hitler. Now, on the other side, I'll bring us to something else applicable for today.
Well, and on that point, as I'm sitting here listening to you quote this history, again, the Treaty of Versailles was never officially ever adopted. Is that a correct statement?
By us. We never signed. Wilson, he was the big hero there.
Sure.
His 14 points, but it was never ratified by the United States Senate.
Exactly.
And it never happened. It was never a part of our treaty. And so we just turned a blind eye to this. And I don't.
Did other countries ratify it? Were we the only holdout? We were the only holdout, right?
We were the only major nation that held out. But without us, it wasn't going to work. And it didn't work.
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
It didn't work.
Yep. Okay, very good. Perfect spot for a break. Bottom of the hour news of hour number two today on this Friday, April 24th. Short break. We'll be right back.